listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, June 1st. I can't believe it. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, hello, Michael. Happy June 1st. As always, it's awesome to be here.
Well, it's great to have you, and welcome to those joining us live. We appreciate you taking the time to catch up with us. Appreciate your contributions. And thanks to those that have taken the time to listen in the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, as always, we'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Tonight, we are going to have a part 2 of a discussion on UFOs. UFOs in the news and things that have been coming out of late. We had this original discussion a couple of weeks ago. We kind of took a little detour last week. I think we were waiting for maybe some things to come to light. And Dr. Vicki, I think you have some very interesting things that were, well, I don't know if I want to preempt it as super interesting because I think you told me a little bit, but the findings, at least, from the congressional hearings.
Well, to back up everybody and just recap is for the first time in 50 years, there was a congressional hearing on UFOs, preferably called now Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon, so UAPs. And I've gone through a whole bunch of different sites, heard different takes on it, but the gist is nothing new. Yeah, there's a few things that, you know, a lot of news outlets said, wow, that's great. You know, they have a couple of things that are unexplained. They don't know. But really, the hearing didn't say much. Now, according to Stephen Greer, his commentary on it is that these people are either not, quote unquote, read in or they're lying. So, because he says there's tons of evidence, but again, it's not getting to those people who sit in these hearings. And I guess that's a really important point, you know, to make is who's doing the talking, who's getting the attention, who thinks they have power, and where's the real power. So we talked about that a little bit a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So I did go over to MUFON and check that out. Now, MUFON is the Mutual UFO Network, and it put up a news release that I'm going to paraphrase here a bit to say they're very glad that Congress was taking this step for disclosure, but they also say that MUFON has about 10,000 reports a year, but a 92% rate of being able to explain sightings. And so they have, let me go down here, 4,600 members globally. There's 1,100 volunteers, 46 international chapters, you know, and so on. And they document the data of sightings and, you know, people's accounts of witnessing or abduction and on.
You know.
Sorry, I was just going to conclude by saying they're very happy that there's a quote in here, a more significant bipartisan collective effort that's needed to push for better legislation and more in-depth information to be released to the public so it stands ready to assist the federal government on U.S. UFO sightings. Of course, that would be a politically correct thing to say.
Oh, sure. And, you know, it's... There's so much unknown that it's, you know, so much speculation in terms of what has the government known, what has been done. I think plausible deniability is a favorite expression of many, and that makes me think about what you were saying earlier. When, you know, people are giving testimony, you know, are they lying or are they just not in the know? It's probably a mix of a little bit of both, depending on who it is.
According to Stephen Greer, it's just that they're not... These are people put into military positions that may not know. Mm-hmm. They just may not know. And you can't speak to something you don't know about, which is really great when it comes to propaganda and open, you know, televised congressional hearings.
Mm-hmm. But it is... the other thing that came to mind when you were talking about these hearings is somewhat encouraging that we are in a society in the West here, I think probably globally, where we're much more accepting of the notion. You know, our scientific awareness has evolved to the point where we know it's a near fact that there is intelligent life out there, and it's the question is only, have they visited us? And we know that there is a significant amount of unexplained aerial phenomena, to use the a little bit of the term. It, you know, it's something that is being openly discussed, as opposed to being laughed out of the room, which would have happened in prior years. So that is progress in and of itself.
It is. More people believe in it. I think if it became an actual government endorsed, yeah, we know they exist. I don't know how people would react then. I think it's always entertaining for the general public to accept something they've never really seen or have evidence of. You know what I'm saying?
And the imagination runs wild. Anybody that's, you know, think about it from the opposite perspective too. We think about aliens coming to our world, and, you know, we have so many unknowns. Are they a threat? Are they friends? You know, are they here to conquer? Do they even look at us as, you know, equals in their eyes? Or are we less than? Are we, you know, how we would view an animal? Something like that. But I also try to think of something that's been done in many sci-fi avenues, and that's the idea of humans coming to another planet, and humans are the aliens to these people. Mm-hmm. Star Trek's done it a few times to good effect, and of course, in that idealized future, human beings are good, so, you know, some people are overreacting to people that are benevolent coming to help. And I'd like to think that we will eventually evolve socially as a people to that point where we are, you know, doing things for the greater good and being generally, you know, good and ethical and doing the right thing as a species. I'd like to think that, you know, we're not going to go out as the people we are today, you know, with, you know, social media and things like that, just scan the internet for some of the content of humanity. And I'd like to think it's not those people that will be making first contact with aliens. But the point that I'm really taking a long time to get to is that if you switch the perspective and you think about us approaching a different planet and introducing ourselves to a new species, if we were at a different technological level, you know, how would it be from our perspective? And I've said this before too. If I was in the power player's position, you know, whoever it is that are making these decisions, if they're being made about extraterrestrials and what information is going to be disclosed, let's say that you did make an agreement with this, you know, this alien species that you've made contact with, and their power is, you know, far exceeding anything that we have, and sure, they're not antagonistic towards us, but maybe they don't look at us as, you know, anything to really worry about, or you know, we don't recognize human rights. And so the government will say, okay, you can abduct a few, but you know, we have to have these terms. And maybe if I was forced into that position, maybe I wouldn't want the public to know everything about it, because what are you going to do anyway?
You're really approaching this far too sensibly, Michael. You know, I think what we do have to look at again is, I think from this other human perspective, government perspective, is what they are deeming potential security threats. And I think there's this whole space thing. So, yeah, I mean, you and I would take it from we're the aliens, you know, and have, again, this whole paradigm shift, and think about all the what ifs and okays. Meanwhile, there's another agenda, you know, space wars, and you know, trying to build up something. And I think what's really difficult for us, you know, bringing it right down to basics, is we're living in a very difficult time to know what's a drone versus some other country's UAP that we don't know about. The ones we have that the public doesn't know about versus, you know, Dr. Edward has said in the chat a few decades ago, the mere mention of UFOs was enough to get you labeled as a crackpot. So yes, progress has been made to where we can at least discuss this. And yeah, we've come that far. However, I think that the seeds are planted for the negative, you know, and, but if you ever, anybody wants to keep track, I know there's links to get to. It's a little confusing, but UFOstalker.com has a map, and it's a real-time UFO sightings map where you can, and then if you zoom in, more little different types of spaceships or alien heads come up, and it just does. And MUFON has the last 20 reported cases, always scrolling, and so there are more people who are open just by the mere fact that people keep reporting and having the knowledge to go to MUFON to, you know, oh, I'm going to report this to MUFON. Sometimes it's way later. So, you know, then the event. Sometimes people don't report it till years later, but they're documenting that anyway, no matter when it comes in. But I think that we do have to be careful, and whatever is reported today, we don't know what it is, versus, as Dr. Edward would say, a few decades ago, I think militarily we had far less access to some pretty weird flying stuff.
True enough.
You know, I trust somebody's account of 1905 better than I trust, you know, somebody's account of 2022, to be honest. And, I mean, I, look, I don't, I'm totally on board with, you know, alien, intergalactic, extraterrestrial beings. However, again, what are we seeing? There's satellites up there. God, there's so much junk, space junk now, that we put into space. What's a reflection? What's a meteor? What's a whatever?
And how easily is it to hoax people these days? I mean, you mentioned drones earlier, and you can do incredible things with drones. You can, you know, hive mind them together so that they, you know, act in concert to form into these different, you know, light objects. It makes me think of some of the images like over Phoenix, you know, those triangular UFOs with the lights at each corner and things like that. I think that was back in the 90s, going off of memory here.
Phoenix,
but,
Phoenix event.
You know, and there's there are very credible examples, and there are a lot of people that have active imaginations. You know, one thing, a couple of things, you know, were coming to mind. You had mentioned a lot of people reporting to MUFON, which is great because they can investigate it, even though they can disprove many of them, if most of them perhaps. It's still good to gather data. And one thing that I was reading on, this is on an ABC News article about the Pentagon, you know, the hearings, and top Pentagon, I'm going to quote the article, top Pentagon officials on a House panel told a House panel on Tuesday that there are now close to 400 credible reports from military personnel of possible encounters with UFOs, which is an increase from the 144 tracked in the last major report released last year. Mm. So I think that's in and of itself kind of a...
Well, I think that's up there planting seeds. Cause
you have to build up to it.
Yeah, they know more than they're letting on. At least certain people do. And even those people like Stephen Greer would say 400, we've got thousands.
Well, of course, those are from military personnel that have reported them. But and, of course, ones that they say they can't disprove. And here's another thing that I came across. I was reading about a man named Jacques Vallier. I'm probably butchering that poor Frenchman's name. But he is somebody who has studied this for a very long time, and there's an article on Wired that was talking about this in my preliminary readings before the broadcast tonight. Just one of the things that jumped out at me as an amazing story from this article that he relayed. They were actually doing an interview in San Francisco at a restaurant. At the restaurant, there is a piece of metal, like an iron, in the restaurant. He tells the story of how on a Saturday night in 1977, firefighters and police responded to calls about a roundish, reddish object with blinking lights that hovered above the treetops in a public park in full view of many, then dumped a bright mass of metal onto the ground. Investigators arrived to find a 4x6 foot puddle of metal, molten-like, that lit the surrounding grassland on fire before cooling. And 11 people from four separate groups gave similar accounts of the incident, even though they were not connected. So that is a very interesting story. And so now, of course, this became legend in that area, in that town. And I'd never heard of this story before. And so, you know, bits of this metal that they investigated, it's, you know, largely iron and a few other elements, you know, carbon, a little bit of titanium. So a piece of this is supposedly in this restaurant they're doing the interview. But what a thing, you know. That, to me, seems to be a bit more credible. You know, you have firefighters and police responding. You have a public park. The grass is on fire. You have the police and firefighters reporting on molten metal. You know, could it be hoaxed? I guess. You know, there's, I'm sure, ways that it could be done. And hoaxed.
1977, you know, we had less access to photoshopping and
This, I mean, these are, you know, people looking at molten metal that got dumped from something that was hovering above the park, above the treetops. Well, first off, why did they dump it? And second, what was that hovering? And it's just such an interesting story with different, just so many questions I have about that story. So that one caught my attention, and I wanted to make sure to share it during this broadcast.
Well, Ronaldo is saying in the chat, the truth is out there. Fox and Scully. Love the X-Files.
That's one of the taglines to this Wired article as well.
Yeah, I mean, I was an X-Files freak. I loved it.
I think his name is Jacques Vallier. Headlines, the line of the article says, Jacques Vallier still doesn't know what UFOs are. He's been doing it for decades. He's a French... I think he's an academic working at a university of some kind, but nonetheless, he's been hunting down these phenomena for decades, and seems to have some very credible stories.
Yeah, there are all kinds of stories. I think we could be here for days and weeks, and I think Dr. Kelly would attest to that. They used to do a Paranexus show.
Back in the day.
Back in the day, radio broadcast, and many times they addressed UAPs, a.k.a. UFOs. Oh, all these acronyms, Michael, drive me bonkers. But
well, depending on whether you're talking to the CIA, the FBI, the NSA, they're going to be talking about UFOs or UAPs.
Yeah, they are. So, I mean, it's so Dr. Kelly could certainly, talk to a lot of stories and documentations that he certainly knows about, and it doesn't take much to go online and you know, find a lot of these stories. What I did do in this past week is I thought, just out of curiosity now, I want to know how many species of aliens there are and, you know, that people are talking about. So I Google it. And, of course, all the algorithms have changed. I could put that in a year or two ago and all kinds of info would come up. Now they say, oh, this alien plant, this is an alien species, this is, you know, and all these and that's not what I wanted. So you have to be really careful what you put in there. It's like extraterrestrial species, you know. And now people are claiming there's 84, there's 112, I don't know.
Well, I mean, so we've gone beyond the lizard people and the grays.
Oh, yeah, way beyond. And there's the inner earth people and these other people and the war ones.
Well, inner earth people aren't aliens. They're just from the inner hollow earth. Come on now. They don't count.
Yeah, and, you know, right from the Atlanteans to, but it's interesting how people have begun, that I have noted, just this my observation, putting them into different classifications of species now, like we really know something. I kind of laughed.
Well, you know, if you can Google it, then it's real, right?
Aren't we all guessing? You know, we're guessing. Yes, Wendy, the inner earth people, there are, and in fact, that is another thing, people, you can certainly look this up, that a lot of UAPs have been documented to go under the ocean into mountains.
That is an interesting phenomenon.
And that's what we call the inner earth people. And apparently there's a couple of species of inner earth people, not just one.
You kind of almost hope that it's not, you know, human technology. Like, you almost hope that you don't want a nation state to have that kind of technology for a fast-moving aircraft to be able to then submerge instantly.
Yeah, well, they go down and
yeah, hopefully they're not crashing, too.
No, they seem to be unaffected and don't resurface anytime soon, yeah. So they're going somewhere.
Well, and I just want to point out real quick, Dr. Zach Frame states that he would argue that there are infinite species, which is, I think, you know, definitely. I mean, within infinite universe, you have infinite species. But I doubt that we know about 110 of them. I think that, well, and, you know,
I don't know,
if they're not even getting to, you know, like the Vulcans, then what are we even here for? Speaking of joking about pop culture, which as longtime listeners know, I like to do. I was thinking of this earlier, the notion that the idea that if we get beyond this point in a self-aware sentient species development, they gain the power to kill themselves. They move beyond that to where they don't kill themselves. They evolve past it, and then they become a spacefaring people. So, logically, somebody that would visit us would probably be peaceful. But in an infinite galaxy, there probably are things like the Borg, because there are infinite variations of everything. So, you know, we don't always have to just assume that everybody's, you know, coming for our benefit. And the corny joke that I had thought of earlier when I was thinking about something you had mentioned, Dr. Hunter, was we know that there have been Star Wars before. They happened in a galaxy, you know, far, far away and a long time ago, but it could happen again in this galaxy right now. So we have to be ever vigilant.
Ronaldo has said in the chat, humans are not from Earth, a scientific evaluation of the evidence, quote unquote, excellent book by Ellis Silver. So I'm saying that for benefit of those who are in the archives listening to this program later. So thanks for that, Ronaldo. Ronaldo, Ellis Silver's book, Humans Are Not From Earth. So that's something to look at. You know, I did kind of give up reading a lot of things. Like I mean, I used to be an insatiable reader of, you know, the paranormal and metaphysics and psychic phenomenon. And you know, after a while, you just kind of, oh, getting on with life. But it's still in me to want to say, oh, that's new, you know, and I want to check it out. Or what's the latest, you know, since the last time I looked that up. And it is quite interesting, I think, that yes, Congress is now talking about it. People are now talking about it. We are certainly a little more receptive to the discussion of UAPs, although they're not giving us more than they think we can handle or they want us to know. For, you know, a list of reasons we've talked about before, I do wonder, and I hope we all keep it in our minds, that the spin could very well be to incite, you know, fear and negativity down the road. So I really am of the mind that if something were going to happen that way, it would have happened a long time ago. And if they are that advanced, we don't have a chance anyway. So knock yourself out, boys, for scaring people.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, there's a lot of movies where humans conquer aliens, save the Earth, you know.
There's sometimes a couple of movies where humans are the aggressor and we conquer the alien planets.
But true. You know, lots of... I watch way too much Netflix, I'm afraid, and all the sci-fi things, and looking for something new to come out, and it's all been done. You know, this has been done, that's been done.
Well, everything's been done one way or another.
So I would like a little more for myself, and I do think that, mind you, I do believe in that law of non-interference, and one of... You know, of course, one of the things to look at is Dr. Kelly's 9 principles of belief, which we talk about every week. I think aliens or extraterrestrials, other space beings, however you want to regard them, live by their own code, not unlike the 9 principles of belief, which is the non-interference, unless we look like we're really going to hurt ourselves. And there's even documentation of them intervening when it comes to nuclear blasts or certain weaponry. And so, I mean, they're hoping we'll grow up, I think, and let me do what we will to our own species, and but they're not going to interfere.
Do you think that... Well, let's talk about this. Do you think... In the idea of non-interference in a galactic sense, if you let's advance human beings 500 years, we're spacefaring, and we come across a civilization that you know, may well be wiped out by a disease or you know, a comet coming towards them. Do you have a moral obligation to intervene and reveal yourself to that species and change their society and go through all of that? Of course, they might be doomed already. Or is it the moral imperative to let the galactic nature unfold as it should and for, you know, life to occur as it, quote unquote, you know, should or was going to without your intervention?
Well, Star Trek was pretty good at, you know, showing various codes of space travel and visiting and non-interfering, and you can assist with certain things but don't change the evolution or you know, and I think there's an exception to every rule.
I think that's one of the only rules, right, is that there's an exception to every rule.
Well, but. And that would be when, you know, some idiots, you know, launching off nuclear stuff and they intervene and poof them in the sky, which there are documents and film footage of that, by the way.
I wonder.
Do
you think we would stop another species from destroying itself if we were in their position?
Oh, you know, I would like to think so. But, you know, Michael, this is a hard call. And, I mean, do no harm, do right. What's the right thing? There's this park that I walk through. You know, pretty much every day I go down to this park, and it's got ponds and fountains, and it's really beautiful. And there's ducks and geese and all kinds of critters. And last week, there's a mom in there with 4 babies. And a couple of days ago, no mom, 1 baby by itself. And I thought, Now, some people would call conservation and say, oh, my God, you know, help rescue the baby. But I'm thinking they'll figure it out. And nature. There's this natural rhythm, and it'll get picked off or it'll find its way out. There was no other ducks claiming this one little guy. Went there the next day, he's gone. But I went with a friend of mine today for a walk, same park. that mom was over in another pond with her three babies, that fourth one not there. So I'm guessing a hawk picked it off or something. How do you intervene or interfere or, you know, hoofla over and yet nature? Do you know what I'm saying? It's what's the right thing to do? And I think that's a really hard call.
You know, yeah, it's because of, you know, the idea being you don't know the consequences on a galactic scale. You know, how do you know that, you know, this event happening to this people at this time wasn't something that would lead to a different species flourishing, you know, millions of years later because they were able to? It's just, I'm clumsily trying to make an example here, but the basic bottom line is that in that kind of scale, when you're talking about an entire global civilization and how that would change when it comes, when you realize that they're not alone and that you become part of a, you know, bigger galaxy, bigger universe, the unforeseen consequences, they're impossible to protect it. It's just, you can't. I mean, with that addition of technology, you know, how much is too much too fast? I'd like to think that medical technology should be like a given, just instant. Like, what's the worst that could happen?
We poof out. So, you know, poof, it's gone. Well, but, you know, it's that time again, Michael. We have these awesome discussions, and then the time goes by so quickly.
It goes by fast, but you're right. It is that time of the evening.
But you know, people, you know, check in with MUFON now and again. I like to do it occasionally, and I look at the UFO stalker now and again, just out of curiosity. In fact, I'll just, before we start picking cards, because we got names in the chat already, I was sure, because I feel them, like I can sense very often when they're around, and it's usually too cloudy here to go look, but I thought, it was a few days ago, and sure enough, I go on to the UFO stalker. The same night that I felt them, somebody in a town that's, half an hour from me north, reported that same night that they saw the ship. And I went, oh, yay.
That's interesting.
So I'm really sensitive to energy and frequencies.
Well, try and flag them down next time.
yeah, whatever. I just say hi, guys, and don't mind my business. But it was kind of an interesting thing. So I kind of look at lining up my experiences. It's all observation. So again, UFO stalker, just the way stalker.com. Wendy's just asking for the website again, so I'm just putting it in there. And it just, you know, I like to look it up, and it's kind of fun.
Well, and let's not also lose sight of the fact that we are living in an exciting time of human development. You could argue that, you know, there, any period of history is exciting in its way, but, you know, we're on the cusp of becoming something different. And I don't know if it's going to happen within 100 years or within 500 or if it's going to take 1,000, but in the fact that we've been here for tens of thousands of years, we are now at a point where we are going to change in some point in our relative near future, and we're going to be something different. We're going to evolve into the next form of what it means to be human. And that's an exciting place to be. And I hope that it'll be sooner rather than later. I hope it doesn't take 500 years or 1,000.
You know, it's so interesting to me. I was telling a friend the other day, I said, I shake my head at the world now. You know, guy survives wilderness for 3 days, making headlines, rescued out of whatever. And I say, we've been living on the planet for over 50,000 years that we know of, you know, and if not longer, we survived the wilderness. And now it's a big deal.
Yeah.
So what again, you know, that shift of our psyches.
It changed so much.
French fries come from potatoes, people. Hello. It's
well,
a vegetable.
Depends on where you go. But, you know, it's funny. Another comedian, Jim Gaffigan, makes jokes about how we spend, you know, thousands of dollars. We take time off work. We spend thousands of dollars. We go camping. And, you know, but that's just what everybody just used to do just to live. It would exist outdoors. It is funny how things changed. And I am looking forward to hopefully a very bright future and one where maybe we are part of a larger galactic community, shall I hope? But on to the cards of the evening, and we're going
to
be pulling...
On to the cards of the night. We have Edward up first. Michael, let's see what we got here.
From the Inner Oracle deck, Dr. Edward, I have number 8, Balance and Order. All right, let's see. With this card, Balance and Order in life... Excuse me, Balance and Order in life or in a specific area is present or it needs to be. If experiencing adversity, look for what is out of its proper order. Adversity is a state of disorder. Once order is restored, adversity fades. Moreover, self-completeness and success will ensue once order and balance are restored to the life leadership paragon areas of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will.
I got the Five of Spades. This is kind of a different vibe for you, Edward. Five of Spades in support of that, Five of Swords. And, you know, if let's imagine for a moment that you had a bad day or a couple of bad minutes in this past week, you know, since we talked last week, that you will overcome that, rise above that. It's just keeping a perspective that sometimes things do get out of order. And even cosmic energy doesn't always flow at the same rate of speed. Like you've got 10 frequencies, they're not all flowing at the same rate. They're different rates, so it plays catch up. This one's going at 5 miles an hour, that one's going at 10 miles an hour. And so everything does kind of catch up with itself. But it is saying here, you know, success after a difficult moment. And so, you know, I'm not going to really go out on a limb and say, look, you've had a really crappy week, but it might have just been a day or something that you feel is frustrating, and it's all coming together. It will come together, just not without some disappointment and sighing for a minute. So I hope that makes sense, Edward. So chin up, hang in there is what I want to say.
A lot of empathy there. All right, we have Dr. Ione next, and I had pulled wild card number 7, and it just strikes me how often that one's been coming up recently.
Yeah.
It's wild card number 7, Hope. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope in and of itself does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last fail-safe of your existence. And do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope. I love this card, and I think that it is important that it's come up as much as it has. I think it's kind of a message to many of us, but...
Well, for Ione, also in support is the Emperor. Now, and I have to go with a literal thing here for Ione for a minute, because if there's someone you've been concerned about, someone you've been worried about, someone who, let's say you think he isn't making very good choices, I want to say that this is still a hopeful moment that this individual is going to turn things around. So, again, I want to go outside of you, not just inside of you, for this particular message. It's, you know, giving a little benefit of the doubt, so don't write them off yet or go too over the end, because there's hope there. That's what I want to say.
All right. And we have Anna next. And I pulled another wild card. Wild card number 9, blank.
Oh, that's powerful.
Hmm. Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers that you seek. This card is what you want it to be. It is what you need it to be. It is all that you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices, but in the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep for the answers you seek lay within.
Oh, wow, you got the sun here supporting that. Blank with the sun. And I want to say to you, you're turning a page in thinking, in your belief system. And, you know, it's kind of like walking through a portal and saying, wow, I have to get to know myself again. I just changed overnight. I don't know who downloaded in me, or I don't really understand completely. I need to process this. I am who I am, but I'm changed. And that's an awesome state to be in. Nobody should be more interesting to you than yourself. And that's not a narcissistic thing to say. It's not a selfish thing to say. You are the only one living in your head. I mean, you're the only one. And we ought to find ourselves interesting. That's how we evolve. So I feel like you're on the precipice of a big change in yourself and getting to know yourself in a different way. So you can create anything you want. It's a blank slate. It's exciting. Finding out who you were born to be. Very exciting.
Taking your own power back, too. Becoming your own person. I love that.
Oof, big time.
All right.
Dr. Mike is next.
And Dr. Mike, I have poll number 43 for you, expediency. Timing is everything. Some things call for expediency. Others require us to slow down. If you have a problem, you can take care of it now or suffer longer and still take care of it later. It takes courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avails, and wisdom to know when to slow down to assess the correct actions before acting promptly. For success at anything, do what you should do when you should do it. Words to live by.
It sure is, and you got the King of Diamonds in support of that, Dr. Mike. So know when to step forward in matters of money and work. And this is, I want to go into more of a fundamental approach to this. If it's your work, your entrepreneurial kind of spirit, how you want to put yourself out into the world, expediency says knowing when to step forward, knowing when to come back. So expediency is be ready, okay? Be ready to step forward. Be ready to make a change. I don't know why I want to say this to you. I have this rule, three times you're out. It's like if I've attempted something three times and it's not working, I put it on the back burner until, because it might come up again. It doesn't mean I dismiss it altogether. It just, maybe the timing's not there. Then you get on with something else. So that's kind of what I want to say to you. And my heart starts beating for you, Mike. So I think you're on to something. It's exciting. And we'll just interrupt this program for a little message. Dr. Mike has also asked that maybe AI is a good topic. And I think we should do that next week, Michael.
I think that's a great idea. So
it is,
we're going to go ahead and steal that topic idea. Well,
thank you. Thank you, Dr. Mike.
And looking forward to that. All right, we have Jamil next. And Jamil, for you, I have number 19, Invoke the Counselor Within.
We had that one last week too, didn't we?
It sounds familiar. I can't place when the last time we had it. Our wonderful card keeper, Wendy, has that, I'm sure. Let's see. There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself not to codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside of yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that is right for you.
I have the Page of Clubs in support of that. And that's really about communication, Jamil. Remember, the page is the communicator. The wands or clubs are change.
Did we lose you?
No, I just had to cough, Michael.
Oh, it happens to the best of us.
I try to mute when I have to do that. You know, you can't drink, talk, and do everything at the same time.
I just try to mute when I know the dogs are going to make noise.
Well, I'm back. Jamil, the counselor within. Know when to speak, know when not to speak. And I think I've said this a couple of times in the program in the last few weeks. It seems to be something that's popping up in my mind that we're learning to communicate differently. And a lot of us are very accustomed to social media, but when it comes to, you know, talking one-on-one, we tend to hold back a bit. But also, it's the skills of knowing what to say, how to say it. So, you know, the feeling, thinking, speaking, what do you hope to achieve by that? And I feel that you really have to kind of call on some of the things that you've learned, Jamil, in knowing how to deliver what you want to say. So I hope that kind of resonates in some way.
All right. All right. So next, I believe we have our card keeper herself, Wendy. And Wendy, I have number 34, take and release ownership. Let's see. Ownership and entitlement are not the same. Ownership is taking responsibility with a healthy attitude. Entitlement is expecting more than what is earned. Further, codependence is taking an unhealthy ownership for other people's problems and feelings. This may be a time to reflect on owning only what is yours and releasing the rest.
Okay, in support of that is the world. Wendy, take and release ownership. Think about that, and then think about the energy of that tarot card, the world. You know, sometimes when we establish a new way of thinking and our boundaries and what doesn't belong to us, what belongs to others, and then a whole different avenue of thinking opens up and a new world begins to open up. It's kind of like a reality shift. And I love this for you because you're free. Freer of anything that you felt burdened with, and that's exciting. It can be unnerving for a minute, but phew, you don't have to think about that stuff anymore because it's not yours. And I like it. So I hope that plays into something in your life that you can make sense of at the moment, Wendy.
All right.
I'm going to stop for a minute. Wild card number 7 has come up, Wendy says in the chat. 7 has come up 7 times this year and 17 only 3 times. Okay. And Jamil's card, got this on, got it on May 11th.
Yeah, not even a month ago. So,
yeah.
And he himself had made a comment above that he had an intuitive feeling he was going to be getting that card.
But there you go.
All right. So and next.
Wendy says she does know what I'm talking about when it came to those cards for her. Yay. I love that.
See?
Thank you, Wendy.
You always have a knack. You have a very intuitive insight. I love it. We have
Ronaldo's next, yes.
Ronaldo, I have number 33, preference over principle. Great card. A mark of knowledge and wisdom is knowing when and how to offer an opinion or voice a complaint. If it is a matter of preference, yield. If it is a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. It's important to know when and where to pick your battles. Be selective regarding the areas in which you invest your energy.
Wheel of Fortune in support of preference over principle, Ronaldo, and I find that really interesting. Knowing when to take a chance and knowing when to take a risk. I like the Wheel of Fortune. Sometimes literally I think of the game show, spin the wheel, see where it lands. And it's if you feel that what you're thinking of doing is affecting other people in a negative way, certainly you look at the principle of it. If you're worried about how other people might react because it's just not convenient for them, then stick by your principles. So I hope that resonates in some way. So it's take a chance for yourself, you know, step forward and know that you're being true to you. And that's the only real question you have to ask, unless you feel like your ways are affecting other people in a negative way. That's not good for everybody. If, you know, we all know what I mean by that. So. Mm-hmm. Zach has said something in the chat that I want to say, Dr. Zach. He said, this lunar cycle is a new moon in Gemini. Oh, I lost it. And he'd like to have a card for the cycle, please and thank you. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
So, for Dr. Zach, I know Zach has been studying a bit of astrology of late, aside from now being published writer, Savage Sonnets. You can find it on Amazon. Zach's been doing some pretty incredible things. So what have you got for Dr. Zach?
Well, Dr. Zach, always happy to have you. You always make great contributions. Just really appreciate you. And for you, for this lunar cycle, I have number 36, gratitude. Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives deep within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while giving freely without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended.
Zach, strength. The strength card, which is in the Major Arcana. You know it very well. Zach and I have had our differences in the past about how to interpret tarot. That is okay. We can agree to disagree. It's really about the interpretation anyway, and our own intuitive abilities when we extract these symbols that stimulate our psyche. When you have gratitude and strength, I want to say that's where you get your strength, Zach, and you are a really grateful individual. I know that about you. And of course, you've been on a roller coaster these past numbers of years with MFs. We know that. But you always have this hopefulness, this will of spirit, this inner strength that puts you forward. And I think that that is based on a lot of ways where you feel gratitude. And that's going to take you through. And as you want to know about this new moon in Gemini, Gemini's duality, if you will, Gemini likes to have two things going at the same time. Gemini is never singular. So whatever it is in this gratitude and strength, in the two endeavors that you're going forward in, Zach, you're excelling. You're rising above. You're doing some really cool things. And you have the energy supporting you. So that universal energy is supporting you going forward. But that comes from within you, right?
I was just thinking that.
Yeah, it comes within you. And you help a lot of people, Zach. So gratitude and strength, I mean, that's contagious from you. Hmm. So you're doing your work.
The addition I was going to make is just that, you know, you have that aura, that energy that you put out to the world. And it's wonderful. So, you know, I was just thinking about Dr. Zach, you, Dr. Edward, Wendy, a lot of us that have been, you know, kind of meeting for years. Now, I remember pulling cards years ago, Zach. It would be, we'd always have, you know, kind of a joke about, you know, you'd ask for a specific card, you know, from the left or something along those lines, if memory serves. It makes me, it warms my heart. It does. And this kind of feeling of community, this group of people that are curious about the world around us, and we want to kind of come together and explore that curiosity. People that want to tolerate listening to me talk and that just come for, you know, Dr. Vicky. I know how it is. No, but I appreciate you all. I appreciate you all. And that's just all I want to say. And especially just a huge thanks to everybody for staying with us, growing this community. A huge thanks to our card keeper, Wendy. You know, she volunteered to do this, and it has shown so many interesting trends. And she deserves a lot of credit and just a lot of, you know, a lot of kudos. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. You know, I want to add, I know there's more stuff in the news today and out there in the world. And Michael and I were talking before the program, and I had an earlier discussion with one of my daughters. And, you know, it's very easy to feel deflated or a little defeated in this world. It's like, oh, how much more can we take? You know, and wow, do I have the energy for one more hit? Oh my, you know, and it goes on and on. And but I'm reminded, even in being here with all of you folks and our discussions and pulling these cards, and, you know, especially for Zach and that gratitude and strength, it really is what we talk about so much. And coming together every Wednesday really helps me out. I'm human. I do have days. And we are grateful people, and I'm very grateful for a lot of things in my life. And it's that will of spirit that keeps us going. And yeah, we made a joke earlier, Michael, about, you know, what if, and oh, well, we'd all beam off. It'd be over. And but we are here, and we keep going. You know, we just keep going. And There's nothing else to do except keep going. A wonder in our curiosity. What's next? And at the very least saying, I wonder how I'll manage this one. and see, being interesting to myself. It's like, I don't know how I'm going to manage this one. I have no idea how this is going to unfold. But, you know, it is what it is, and we'll find out one day at a time.
I love it. I love it, and you're absolutely right. Well, as I brush a tear from my eye.
Oh, it's like, everybody hang in there. Just hang in there. And, you know, we come here every Wednesday, hopefully have good interactions, and we feel that energy amongst ourselves, that we're not alone. You know, there's a lot of us going through stuff. We just want to have a healthier attitude, a healthier perspective, and, you know, be there for each other. And I want y'all to know at any time, Michael and I are there for you. And I know you're there for us, too. So it's awesome. And, hey, we're into June 2022, Michael.
That's crazy. Blowing my mind. Blowing my mind. But,
oh, God, I got to tell you this. Dr. Mike just said in chat, I have to say it because it's very funny. If frogs had wings, they would not bump their butt when they hop. That's fun.
That is wisdom right there.
So,
all right. Well,
thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Looking forward to seeing you next week. Like many of you, it is a highlight of my week. And we're going to be talking about AI. Thanks to, you know, our crew about, you know, thanks to our crew for that great idea, Dr. Mike. Great idea. And see, that's why we have the live chat, so you guys come and give us the ideas that we can use to talk about. See, it's our crafty plan. But I'm really looking forward to this. Artificial intelligence. What does it mean for artificial intelligence to be self-aware? Do they have souls in that hypothetical? I think that's going to be kind of the crux. Looking forward to it. Any last thoughts, Dr. Ricky?
Oh, we could talk about the Borg.
I think we're going to.
My mind just went off on a spin.
And we're going to have to look up copyright law, but I think we're going to. Well, thank you, everyone. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.